But we are in the 23rd, the 22nd chapter of Psalms, I'm sorry, and the 23rd chapter of Psalms. I'm too excited about it. I know, I'm 23. Let me read you some stuff. You're going to hear most of these names in what we're getting ready to read. And another thing I need to ask you, how many know that Psalms is actually instrumental music? Set to poetry and notes. If you don't believe me, you can go to 18, the first verse, and it'll tell you. So just as David used music to calm Saul, he used the same music to talk to God.
Amen. Amen.
That's why it's so important that we pray without ceasing.
Yes.
You know, and we call upon the Lord and we manifest his name, call upon his name. It says, you can read with me. The Lord is my
shepherd.
I shall not
want.
He maketh me to lie down in
green pasture.
He leadeth me beside
still waters.
He restores my
soul.
He leadeth me into the paths of righteousness for his
name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no
evil.
For art thou with me. Thy rod, they comfort me. Thou preparest a what? Before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou shalt anoint my
head
with oil. My cup runneth over.
Surely
goodness shall do what? All the days of
my life.
And I will do what?
Well.
Forever. Amen. Come on and give God some praise.
Yeah. For the Lord. Yeah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
What time is I going to have to get? No, they played it off yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
I got time today. I appreciate that, sir. Pretty awesome. Boss, I appreciate that. The Lord is my, or Jehovah is my shepherd. The word shepherd means Roi. That's one of the names of God. It means Jehovah, my shepherd. This is probably one of the most powerful psalms that David ever put the instrument and then put the poetry, because it brings up the names of God. If you don't know the name of God, then you've got a problem.
Amen.
He said, I shall not. That's Jehovah Jireh. That means God will provide. Now this is what he's saying.
Yes.
God will provide.
Yes.
No matter where you are or what you're going through, God will provide.
Right.
Amen. Amen. He will take care of you. He will be your shepherd, Jehovah Roi.
Amen.
Yeah.
It says, he maketh me to do what?
Lie down.
In green pastures. Green pastures mean, when it talks about the word green, it's just not talking about a regular pasture that a cow grazes in, but it's talking about a pasture that's supernatural. These pastures that God is talking about are choice land.
Yeah,
they are fertile land.
Yeah.
He said, look here, I already know that God is my Jehovah Roi, and I know he's my Jehovah Jireh. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. I mean, lie down means he's making me to rest.
Amen. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen.
Come on now.
Sometimes God has to make you rest.
Yes,
because we don't know how to do it on our own. So God has to put us in a position sometimes where we don't have nothing to do but rest.
Amen.
Amen. Make it to lie down in green pastures. Make it to means to cause to be implied in a continuance of things.
Amen.
Mean that, you know, the scripture says God will never leave you or forsake you.
Amen.
He says he leads me beside the still waters. Amen. When it talks about still waters, it's talking about the blessing.
Amen.
He leadeth me. He guides me to the blessing. Jehovah Roi, who is my shepherd. Jehovah Jireh, who is my provider. He maketh me, he put me in a position where I can lie down in a choice pasture. Not just any kind of pasture, but a choice pasture. That's because it's been created for me. God has created some pastures for you that you need to find yourself and lay down in them. Because they are the blessings of God. Then he goes on to say, and you know, the Bible also talks about water, but we have rivers of water running where? Out from our, pouring out of our bellies or out of our inner man. David is bringing it into the thought, all of these things at the same time. Yes. He says, he does what? He restoreth. My God. I'm going to say it again. Somebody didn't get it. He does what? He restoreth. That means he resolves. Restores. I like this last word. It says he rewards. So if you allow him to be your shepherd, you allow him to be your provider, you allow him to help you get the rest that you need by resting in him, he'll lead you beside the still water or the blessing, and he restoreth, or he'll reward you your soul. I don't know about you, but there's times I need my mind restored. When we're talking about soul here, translated into Hebrew, it's talking about your mind. We go through some things. We need our minds restored. My God, because they won't just run rampant on you. Have you thinking things that ain't true? Have you seeing things that ain't really happening? Have you hearing things that you haven't heard? I tell people, they say, well, such as I said, look here, I didn't see it. So ain't no way in the world I'm going to believe it. It may be true. But until I witness it, it's just true to you. So I need my mind restored. Jesus, the Bible says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What is he saying? Let this character, let this knowledge, let this understanding that was in Christ be in you also. He leadeth me. That means he guides. And it also talks about he guides one's conduct. You know that was in there, didn't you? It means you got to allow him to guide your conduct.
Hallelujah.
Into the paths of righteousness. Lead us. Now look here. God done already done. What has he done already? He's your shepherd. He done provided for you. He done some things for you. He done planted you beside the still waters. He done allows you to lie in the choicest pastures. I mean, God has blessed you tremendously. Now he's trying to lead you through all that to the path of righteousness, or to a way where you can be in right standing with God. Not for you, but for his name's sake. I don't know about in your Bible, but the word his in my Bible has a capital H. That means it's talking about Jesus. So, because of Jesus, I have a shepherd. Because of Jesus, all my needs are met. Because of Jesus, my mindset has been restored or been made brand new. Because of Jesus, I now know the right way to get to be in right standing with God. Because you're going to need to be in right standing with God. Because guess what? Yea, though I walk.
Come on now.
Though I walk, that means to slowly.
Take your time.
Means to press through the valley. And when it says through, it means you have to go from point A to Z. You can't get caught up in G and think that God's supposed to come down and rescue you, especially when he done already been what? He your shepherd. He done provided for you. He done give you a place where you can rest and it still be still. I like still waters because Moses told them to be peace. Be still. Don't leave me now. You know, it's something about peace. When you have the peace of God in your heart and in your spirit, you can go through anything. I'm not telling you that it's not going to hurt. It's not going to be painful. It's not going to be troublesome. But what I'm telling you is you can make it through it because you know that your God who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, is there with thee to provide for you. I've had to come to that understanding. You have to know something. When I preach to you, it comes right back at me. So here I am, I'm walking through the valley. The valley talks about, it's a narrow area. When it's talking about valley, it's not talking about something wide, but it's talking about something narrow. Sometimes you have to find yourself in some narrow straits.
Amen.
And you can't look up to the right and see anything, and you can't look up to the left and see anything. You have to stay focused on that which is in front of you. That's why Paul said, press toward the mark of the prize of Christ, which is the high calling. You've got the word press means you've got to press. That means when the wind is blowing hard, you got to keep moving. Amen. I'll start laughing at myself yesterday because I was praying because I looked at my gas tank and it was almost empty. So I figure I get to the church, you know, I stop down there, put about $5 or $10 in it to get to over where I live because it's about 8 cents cheaper. So I'm starting the car up to cool it off. Started it once and cooled it off, mother. I started the second time because I still work messing around in here. And then the third time I started, something said, hey. Hey, picklehead. I say, what, Lord? I know it wasn't nobody but God. He said, you know you don't have no gas. And it's your third time starting that car to cool it off, and it runs at least 5 minutes every time you start it. So I quickly grabbed the button and turned it off. So we have to be mindful of the things we do. Those are things that we do that we allow ourselves to get in trouble.
Tell it.
So even though you got to go through the valley of the shadow, you don't have a choice.
Yes.
You don't have a choice. The shadow of death. And when they're talking about shadow, and you can look at it two ways. It's talking about, you ever, when we were kids, I know y'all ain't never done this. You ever tried to beat up your shadow?
Yes.
And you lost every time? You out there fighting with the shadow and shadow boxing, and what you get? Nothing. Well, this shadow right here is totally different. Because this shadow right here has the ability to mess with your mind, your heart, and your spirit. Because it's tied in with death, which represents the grave. But look what David's singing. He says, but I will fear none. I'm not going to fear no evil whatsoever. I don't care what it looked like, what form it's in. I'm not going to fear it. And that means morally or spiritually, I'm not going to fear it. Why? Because God came and gave me strength and the ability to do all things through him. So I don't have to have fear. Fear is a killer.
That's right.
And a liar.
Amen.
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 So here I am going through the valley of the shadow of death, but I don't have to fear the evil that's in the death.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. How many heard that?
That's right.
I don't have to fear the evil that's in the death. He says, thou art with me.
That's right. Come on now.
I'll never leave you. I'm going to always be there with you. Now, you might not see it that way, but I am anyway.
Uh-huh.
You may not be able to feel me,
uh-huh,
but I'm still there.
Amen.
You can't see me, but I'm here.
Amen.
You ain't even going to hear me a lot of times because you're going to be caught up in your flesh, but I'm still going to be here.
Amen.
The reason I'm still going to be here, because I came to war against the flesh.
That's right.
Amen.
But see, unfortunately, the flesh is always looking for an opportunity to get in to mess you up. He says, thy rod. Listen to rod. Rod is Hebrew of shadak. It means a stick for punishing, fighting, ruling. God said, thy rod. What he's saying is, David is saying, not my rod, Lord, but your rod. Because you said if I got out of the way, you would fight all my battles for me.
Yeah.
It's not my rod, but it's thy rod, O Lord, that's going to fight for me.
Yeah.
And thy staff. Staff, mishach mu, which means support, sustenance. So Lord, as you fight my battle for me, you're going to also give me the sustenance and the strength that I need. And at the same time, you're going to console me on what it is I need to do for you. So with no rod, thy rod and with thy staff, you can comfort me because I know that with the rod, you're going to fight my battles for me. And with the staff, you're going to keep me. You're going to cover me. You're going to strengthen me. You're going to give me the sustenance and the counsel that I need to ease myself.
Amen.
They will console me.
Amen.
The page to verse 5. Ooh, I like this part. Thou, who? You, Lord.
Exactly.
Not me.
Exactly.
Not the pastors.
Right.
Not the evangelists. Uh-huh. But you, O Lord.
You, Lord.
What's that song? It's you, it's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. I need prayer.
Amen.
But it says, thou, Lord, prepares. Look here. The word prepares means to arrange, to put in order.
Man.
God said, if you let me be your shepherd, if you let me provide for you, if you let me plant you by the still waters, if you let me comfort you, if you let me fight your battle for you, if you let me console you, I'll put you, I'll make a place for you that's already arranged and already put in order.
Already
put it on a table. A table before me in the presence of my enemies. Ooh, Lord, have mercy. I got some stuff wrote down. I got too much stuff wrote down.
Take your time.
Amen. He prepares a table for me before my in the presence of my enemy. Or when it talks about presence, when we talk about the presence of God, we talk about God's character and his nature. Well, he said, God has done this. He has prepared for me a table in the presence or in the attitude or disposition of my enemies. Nowadays, you don't know who your enemy is. They can smile in your face, give you a few dollars, and they're still your enemy. Y'all didn't hear me. Maybe I should say that again. Hallelujah. In the presence of my enemy. That means that I can go in front of folks who I know don't like me and still have peace with God. I can be around folks and watch folks. And let me tell you something. When you give your heart life to God, you can almost tell that folks are talking about you, whether you know it or not. Because you have the ability to search out the spirit. And you know, sometimes it makes you mad to know, you know they're talking about you. But at the same time, God is saying, Pastor Keith, you sit there and you keep your mouth shut.
Amen.
But Lord, I know what they're doing. Keep your mouth shut. Lord, I know what they're doing. I've been told what they're doing. Keep your mouth shut. Why? Because if you keep your mouth shut, you can keep your mind and your heart under subjection to the power of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
The Bible, what's the most unruliest thing? The tongue. Why are you thinking that, that way back in the Old Testament? When they wanted to shut you up, they cut your tongue out. That's kind of crazy, ain't it? I I've been around Pastor Keys too much. I was watching Criminal Minds one night. It's your fault. I was watching Criminal Minds, and this certain guy, every time he kidnapped somebody, before he killed them, he would cut their tongue off. You saw that one? Cut their tongue off. He wouldn't throw it away. He would put it in a case. So he had tons of tongues. You know why he was cutting his folks' tongue off? Because they had said something derogatory to somebody, and he was caught up because he was always getting beat up by a tongue in his household. So he was taking it out on other people. So if he saw you yell at your children that day, that night you didn't have a tongue. So you weren't going to be doing no more yelling. If he saw you fighting with your husband and your wife and y'all was yelling at each other, neither one of y'all was going to have a tongue. Because it reminded him of home. I want to be reminded of home in God. I want to be reminded of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God.
Amen.
My Lord. Then he goes on to say, thou anointest. We dealt with this during the corporate anointing classes. It's called the aftercare. It's by professionals that use ointments and seasonings and spices to make perfume. So God is saying, thou anointest my head. You have perfumed me. Why is it important that he perfume us? Because it says we go up to heaven as a sweet,
sweet
smell and savor.
Hallelujah.
A sweet smelling savor. I anointed the head. The reason he anoints the head is because that's the mindset. Whether you realize it or not, that's where all our trouble is. Your knee may be hurting, but it started in your mind. My goodness. You might have had a heart attack, but it started in your mind. How could it start in your mind? Because of the way you took care of yourself in the beginning sometimes. But you know what the good thing about it is? God has a way of teaching us to take care of ourselves and put us back in the garden. Then he goes, now, this last scripture kind of shook me up. It says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. It had better.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
You better pray and do. You better pray and follows you all days of your life. Goodness. It's translated kindness, prosperity, wealth, and favor. Now come on, listen to this. It says, when goodness follows you, kindness and prosperity and wealth, favor follows you. That means it don't matter what's going on around you. God's got your back.
Amen.
God's going to meet your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ.
Amen.
But we get so caught up on what we're going through, we want to fight against ourselves and fight against God because it didn't happen when we thought it should have happened.
Amen.
Well, Lord, you said, but the Lord said you did. Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Surely, positively, goodness and forgiveness. But the breakdown in the Hebrew means mercy means reproof and favor. So you're not going to have favor until you are first reproofed. And you know what we don't like as saints? Reproof. Reprimand.
Amen.
But if you don't allow yourself to be reprimanded, I'm not talking about by men or women. I'm talking about by God. God will give you a word that will tell you you ain't supposed to be doing what you're doing, but you do it anyway. Guess what you lose? Favor. They go hand in hand. You're going to have to be reproved before you can have favor.
Amen.
And then he goes on to say, and it shall follow you the days of God. Guess what? When it's talking about following you, David was saying, look here. He ain't talking about the goodness and the mercy following you all the days of your life. He's talking about the trouble, the trial, and the tribulation, and the circumstance. Because shall follow means to run after with hostile intent. That's why you need grace
and mercy.
And mercy.
Come on now.
Because there's some things following after you. That means you're some greyhound. But listen, remember what it said? But if you put yourself in God's arms, in God's hands, in the face of God, whatever is following you can't touch you. And it says, we ain't just talking about just for a season. It says all the days of your life. That means it's going to be tribulation, trial, and struggle all the days of your life. But the good thing about it is goodness and mercy is right there with you.
Come on now.
Goodness and mercy. The word shall means absolute. Shall absolutely follow you. Follow me all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Lord, I thank you.
Yes.
I thank you for your goodness. Because they've been after me. I thank you for your mercy. I didn't like the reproof so much, but I appreciate the favor that came when I allowed myself to be reproofed. All the days of my life, I got to deal with something. But then that's why he said, you can do all things through Christ that does what? The word strength is translated in the Greek means enable. God has enabled you to go through the valley of the shadow of death and still have victory. I got news for you. For some strange reason, most think they have the victory when they on the other side. But you got to have the victory in the middle of the storm.
Hallelujah.
You got to show forth some faith in God right in the center of your storm.
Come on now. Amen.
And then he says, and I will. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Help me. Help me, Lord. I will. How many say, how many got that? I will.
I will. I will.
What David is saying, because the I is capital, is actually talking about Jehovah God. And I, the great I am. I already know where I'm going to dwell. I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. And the house of the Lord is Christ Jesus, my everlasting help, which dwells and lives in me. So God has made this thing for us. All we got to do is allow ourselves to stand up, proclaim the name of God, not with our mouth, but with our works and with our lifestyle, and let folks know I'm a child of the living God.
Come on now.
But he ain't got nothing for me. Me and the statue of St. Peter.
My Jesus, my Jesus.
If I end up in Rome, he ain't gonna never get none of these snacks. Because he can't do nothing for me. So I'm going to make sure, what did Joshua say? As for me and my house, we're going to do what?
Serve the Lord.
Come on now.
Amen, amen, amen.
That's how you dwell in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's how you dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That means evermore. That means there's no length of days. How long you can dwell in God's house. Why? Because when I walk to the right, I'm in God's house. When I turn to the left, I'm in God's house. If I go down the steps, I'm in God's house. Why? Because I found me a dwelling place where I can dwell and still see and understand that the face and the strength of God is manifesting in my life. So though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, who cares? I'm not going to fear calamity. Because that's what evil's broken down to. I'm not going to fear calamity. I'm not going to fear hatred. I'm not going to fear envy. Because I know that if I keep going through this valley where I'm going, I can see the face of God. And as long as I follow the face of God, I don't have to get over there to the end or the keys to get victory. I got victory right now. God already told me to prepare a place for me. Jesus said, I'm leaving, I'm paraphrasing, I'm leaving, going to heaven, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. I got news for you. He ain't talking about no mansion.
That's right.
Oops. Break it down. He's talking about a place of spirituality that you can dwell in. We've been preaching that for so many years, we really believe it. That we're going to go up there and have a big old mansion on the streets paved with gold living next to my mama. He said, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. But see, what folks fail to realize, Jesus, where Christ is in us, the hope of
glory.
In the hope of what?
Glory.
If he's the hope of glory, guess what? I'm already in my dwelling place. And the book of Revelation says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth coming down from heaven to the earth. The Bible says that we shall inherit, and so eloquently as Dustin Redford put it last week, we are heirs. The Lord said we're heirs and we're joint heirs. All I got to do is remember that my God has already prepared a place for me. Lord, have mercy, Jesus. And I'm going to dwell in the house of the Lord. I'm going to sit down by the riverside.
Come on now.
And thank God for all the trouble I see. Thank God for all the trouble I've been through. Thank God for all the trials and tribulations I've had to deal with. Thank God for all the sicknesses I've had to go through. You know why? Because we're still here. And you know one thing? We've learned from what we've been through. And if you haven't learned anything from what you went through, then you're going to miss God. I can show you better than I can tell you. Hallelujah. My goodness. When I used to go see Mother Nancy in the convalescent home, they called them rehabilitation centers, but they didn't say anything but that. She was just as happy. It wasn't because she had her leg. They already took her leg. I told you about the guy rolling down the street. He didn't have no legs. He was sitting on a pallet and he had his gloves on, and he was just going, and he was just singing praises to God. And I'm whining and crying about how my knees hurt, and he just rolling, and the man ain't got no knees. God said, "You see what I see?
Yes.
I see. I see what you see." He said, "Well, let me tell you what. I'd have prepared a table for you. I'd have kept you. I'd have provided for you. I'd have strengthened for you. I fought your battles. I provided you with strength. And you gonna complain about your knee? And this man ain't got none?
No.
You know what hurts my heart? To see children with cancer. It just breaks my heart. I mean, absolutely breaks my heart. Because some, I don't know about you, but I can talk to my father. I asked my father, "Why so young? Why so young?" Most of them won't even get a chance to enjoy their lives. But you know what? When you see them, they're just as happy. You know why? Because they have found something that we need to find. It's called peace. And it's called rest. And they're just children. Trying to tell you something up in here. God's trying to prepare us and get us ready for what's going on now. Not tomorrow. We spend more time worrying about tomorrow than what's going on today. Lord, have mercy. You better make things right with your soul. See, you know what people forget? That I'm closing. People forget this one fact. When Jesus comes back, he don't care how much money you don't gain. He don't care less how many that you never missed a Sunday paying your tithe. He could care less what you've done for your brothers and sisters, how you've given them rides and done that. He could care less about all that. The only thing he's going to care about is what he sees when he searches the intents of your heart.
Amen.
You know how much trouble David had? David caught it. One of his sons wanted to kill it. The other one hung himself in the tree. But he didn't actually do it. Folks, they don't recognize that. He didn't actually do it. God says, "Don't touch not my anointing and do my prophets no harm." And he don't care who you are. So when God prepares that table for you, don't you worry about them folks around you. Because I guarantee you, the clock is ticking, or the sand is going down, and whatsoever a man soweth, that's going to be going to reap it. Another, I'm going to disillusion you about another thing. Folks think they ain't going to reap till they get to heaven. No, no, you owe God here. I hurt you here, so why shouldn't I expect to get it back here? God ain't preparing a table for me for nothing. He did it for a reason. Amen. But you know what? When it talks about the table, it talks about food. You have to eat from this food right here. You have to eat from this.
Yes. Yes.
Because you know what? If you don't eat from this, guess what you have a possibility of doing? Nullifying your grace and your mercy. Because that's the commandment, study to show thyself approved, a word for me, not be ashamed, right? And dividing the word of truth. The reason so people messed up, because they don't know what the truth is. A lot of churches are actually cults. Ooh, don't say that, man.
Don't
say that. They didn't let Adam walk up into their church and teach them how to control. God never meant for us to control one another. Amen. Right. For us to live with each other.
That's right.
In harmony and peace. Yes. Now, sometimes it ain't gonna be a whole lot of harmony. And it ain't gonna be a whole lot of peace. These last some years, I learned one thing: it takes two to argue. David recognized that. That's why he made so many songs to God and put it into poetry. He recognized it. God wants us to recognize it.
Amen, amen, amen.
That's why the man of God said, you know what? I've run a good race. I've fought a good fight. I'm ready to be offered up. You don't have to wait till you get ready to die for that testimony. You can say, I've run a good race and I've fought a good fight. And I'm ready to be offered up. I'm ready to be offered up, Jesus. Because you know why I'm ready to be offered up? Not to be killed, but to serve God. Pastor Keys preached a message last week during the convention called To Serve Man.
Yeah.
That's another one of them Out of Limit movies. When he started talking about it, I started laughing all together. That's my favorite Out of Limit movie. It's 30 minutes long. Folks think they're getting something for nothing, and they'll run after it. They don't realize they the meal. I don't know if I'm going to pay you too much attention anyway. You standing almost 7 feet and your head is about this big. Something's telling me something wrong already. And you can't talk, but you can telepathically talk to me. See you, bud. Folks running up there in that boat, even the scientists. Got up in there, and the guy called him and said, you know what? I just broke down that book that we got to serve man. It ain't talking about serving him with love and kindness and peace. It's talking about serving him on a plate. He wanted to get off, but he couldn't get off, Brother Little John, because they are already millions of miles in the air. And then the funny part, Pastor Keith got, they went around after that poking them, making them eat. Because they didn't want to eat no skinny humans. They wanted you nice and plump. Make sure you had the right calories. Let me tell you something. Your pressure makes sure you have the right stuff that you think you need to mess you up. And you will mess around and you will be serving man all right. But David had a plan. We need to use that same plan. Everybody stand. Hallelujah.
Not only did David see himself in the poetry, but he also saw my son. I was my son's shepherd. And I led him by the still waters. He wanted for nothing. He had the peace that I gave him. I restored him in the times that he got tired. I led him in peace. And I set a table before him in the presence of mine enemy. I led him through the valley of death itself. So that you might follow him through that word. I have prepared a table before you in the presence of all of your enemies. Even as I prepare for a table before my son. And you are in my son and he is in you. And he shall lead you and guide you into all things. He shall lead you and guide you into the blessing that I have prepared. And that blessing is eternal life, everlasting life. Stand up righteous before me, and ye shall see me, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm looking to see him. I want to see him just like he is. Amen. Ain't that it was his third John or something? He said, I'm going to see him just as he is. But there's only one way you're going to see him just as he is, if you're looking like him when you see him.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Got news for you today. God is moving in a tremendous way. I don't know if you're going to be happy, but I'm going to be preaching for a while. It's a fool. They got me full. They got me full. No fool, I can't even sleep some nights. Just downstairs writing notes on envelopes and all kinds of stuff. God be deep. But I do know this. As long as we live in Him and He live in us,
yes,
all we got to keep in our lives is called expectation.
Right.
You can't receive nothing without expectation.
Amen.
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 Amen. Glory to God. We're going to pray. Take somebody by the hand. Heavenly Father,
yes,
in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus,
yes,
and our brother, who we are heirs with.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Because you spoke it into existence.
Yes,
Lord, I pray through the power of God,
yes,
and Jesus of Nazareth, that you move upon all our minds, our hearts, and our spirits. And Lord, prepare a place for us before our enemies, Lord God. But we want you to set the table.
Yes.
Because if you set the table, everything that we have need of going to be on that table.
Yes.
But if we set it, we're going to have all kinds of stuff on that table. But I want you to set it, Lord.
Yes.
And I'm tired of you being my co-pilot. I want you to be the pilot. I want you to lead me to the place of righteousness.
Yes.
Bless us, Father, in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing of God destroy every yoke that will try to so easily beset us. But let that anointing wash us from the crown of our heads to the soles of our feet, moving upon our character, our nature, and our hearts. Lord God, you make out of us what you want to make out of us. Use us for your glory. In any circumstance, in any situation, in any problem, use us for your glory. Father, I thank you today.
Thank you.
I want to give you all the praise as you touch every life in this
world. Yes.
And I thank you for it all. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.